CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 189, recorded February 19th, 2016. I am your host, Daron Land. Along with me this evening is Plasticon.
Hey guys, how's it going? I'm Hank. Back.
Hi, coming from Australia with Outback.
Outback. And Rick Alvarez.
I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, that's scary.
Too much information.
Yes.
I dare you to prove me wrong.
All right. Hopefully we're not going to have any issues tonight. We've been having some issues with Google Plus. I've been freezing up. Plasticon's been freezing up. We've all been freezing up. So hopefully we can get through this without any issues. But if we do, we apologize ahead of time. But I think we got a pretty good show for you tonight. We got, we're going to talk a little bit about foreign Transformers, and that is if you're in the North American markets. You know, toys that came out in Japan or and or Europe or other markets, but never came over here. A good example is Star Saber. You know, we never got the original toy here in America. You know, I as a collector and fan, I'd never even heard of Star Saber until the early 2000s, whenever I was, you know, first getting on the internet. So, you know, it's Japan had this whole bunch of figures that they came out with during Generation 1, and actually still going on. There's still figures comes out that we haven't gotten over here.
As well as alternating paint decos.
Yes. That we didn't even get. You know, growing up in the 80s, you know, I never realized that, you know, the MicroMasters and everything were part of an entirely separate season top in Japan. You know, I mean, you had Zone and you had the Master Force and everything. We didn't get any of that. You know, we had Overlord, you know, Buster and Hydra, completely different characters and different decos. They were featured in the cartoon, never even appeared. Well, I think they did appear in the cartoon, didn't they?
No.
Darkwing and Dreadwing? No, they didn't.
No. They had animation for the commercial of the toys.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But you know, they had characterization in Japan, completely different color scheme. It was, you know, things that like that we just never got over here. So we're going to delve a little bit into that. And if we have time, we're going to talk about a subtopic, you know, size in your Transformers. Is there such a thing as too big? you know, is Generations Metroplex too big, or did you want something bigger? You know, are MicroMasters or Minicons too small? You know, does it hamper things? We may talk a little bit about that, time provided, but we're going to delve into our main topic of discussion because I think there's a lot of meat there to talk about. If you want to join in on our discussions, you can follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. I'm watching the Twitter feed now. Hopefully Plasticon or somebody is watching the Facebook page. So if we have any comments on there, we can mention them on air if it's pertinent to what we're talking about. Be sure to like and subscribe us on YouTube and iTunes, wherever you get the podcast. Lets people know, lets us know that you really like us. Hopefully you do. Check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with the customer loyalty program and have free shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. Also, you can check out Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. And you can find Mega Toy Fan at the biggest robot conventions year-round. Coming up at BotCon in April, Mega Toy Fan is going to be there. So check them out. So, Rick.
Let me ask you a question before we dive into this.
Okay.
Are we also going to bring attention to the characters that did get released in North America that did not get released overseas in Japan?
You know, that would lend a fair hand at what we're talking about. I mean, it does go both ways. There's things that we've gotten over here that I'm sure Japan and other markets have not gotten. So we can talk about those.
Well, I think, you know, a good place to start is this really began with the U.S. having figures that Japan never got. And then halfway through the line in the 80s, it kind of switched to where Japan got all these characters that North American markets weren't getting. So we had characters. We had Roadbuster, Whirl, Topspin, Twin Twist. We had Jetfire, Omega Supreme. Those never came out in Japan.
Skylinx.
Yeah, Skylinx didn't come out until the reissue.
The Deluxe Insecticons.
Yep, that is true. We had Reflector as a mail away, but they had a Reflector released at retail.
And so also Sunstreaker. Sunstreaker was in retail in. Oh, sorry.
I was about to ask, what about the Power Dashers? Were the Power Dashers actually available in Japan? Because I know they're mail away here in the States.
No, they were okay. They were actually available, but they was you had to spend like I think 2,000 yen or something like that in store to get one.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually did some research on that. Haha.
Well, I wasn't aware of that. I was like, I didn't know because I like the Power Dashers. I thought they were really cool, but you know, we got them here in the States as mail away, and I didn't know how it went over there for them.
So unlike the U.S. where they just came in like a brown mailer box, in Japan they came in these white boxes that had like I believe it was like blue printing on the side. It had a little card and the text back and talked a little bit about the character.
Because the Omnibots were exactly the same as that, but I think it was the Jumpstarters that didn't have an appearance in Japan. Was it?
Jumpstarters didn't come out in Japan. Topspin and
Jumpstarters. Technically, the Wreckers didn't turn up in Japan.
Hmm. I was not aware that the Jumpstarters did. I could have swore I'd seen a Jumpstarter.
No, Topspin and Twin Twist did not come out in Japan.
Hmm.
Like, it was not part of the Transformers. They came out as Diaclone, though, right?
You know, I'm not a. I can't say so.
Well, I remember seeing the Microchange commercials over there for those. Yeah. So yeah, they didn't come out. They probably came out in those colors, but they didn't come out as Transformers. I don't think.
So that was kind of like those were our characters in North America that are the Japanese collectors' hit list. Those characters, you take them over there, you sell them for a good chunk of change. Just like the Japanese characters you sell over here for couple hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. It wasn't until around, I would say, 87 that things started changing. And I would say that the first big change was Jinra, God Jinra, God Bomber.
No. Headmasters was the first big change. Raiden.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah, absolutely. So Japan had an exclusive team of combiners, which was the Raiden, the train bots.
Train bots.
Yeah, so that was six Autobots that formed a train. They were each individual trains, and then you can combine them together. They had little connectors. You can make a long train, and they actually would fit on your they actually came with train tracks, and it would fit on your – if you had electronic train sets, which I guess a lot of kids today don't really play with trains, unless it's Thomas. you could actually put them and connect them to your electronic trains.
I mean, I guess basically on the flip side, though, Japan didn't get Hot Rodimus, Cha, and whatever Blur was called as Target Masters, and they didn't get Cyclonus and Scourge as Target Masters as well.
Okay, yeah, true. So, so 87 is when the big divide started to take place, where the shift started to happen. So we had a couple of figures in the early 80s that were exclusive to the North America. We had some variations at 87, which were exclusive to North America. And then Japan had the train bots, and they came individually packaged and in the gift set.
Hmm.
The screen gift sharing now, the gift set right here. It's C-131.
Which is funny, I guess, because if you follow, obviously, before the good old Transformers, when everything was taken out of Microchange or Diclone, the train bots themselves already existed. They were like a team that worked together with what we know now as the Constructicons. But then it took so many years before the set made its way to Transformers.
Yeah, and they pretty much they were fairly close in color to the Diaclone, if I remember.
I think the Diaclone was completely different, wasn't it? Or is it like they had different shades?
Different variants. In Diaclone, there were two different variants. There were chrome. There was like the main bullet train was actually chrome in one variant, and then the other one it was not. Along with the diesel locomotive actually had translucent plastic, like a really, really like hot orange color. And that was the Diaclone variant, because Diaclone had two different styles of it that came out. One is like super rare compared to the other one.
You know,
talking about super rare. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Talking about super rare, there was the double cassette bots in Japan, where you had two cassette bots that merged into a robot.
Well, We had Squawk Talk and Beast Box and Grand Slam and Rain Dance over here, but they had different ones over there as well, like the Dino cassettes.
The Digibell and Log Out for Autobots. I'm trying to find out what
the they were both Autobot sets.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dinosaurs.
So, and those go for a pretty penny, really.
Yeah, I've seen those go for, I think the last set I saw sealed at auction went for over $800 individually.
BotCon in Pasadena, the last one I went to, I believe it was in 2011. There was a seller there had a sealed Decibel for $750, and that was the first time I'd actually seen it in person. I mean, they were sealed in package.
Yeah. So like I guess going with 87, still we had a Twin Cast and Sound Blaster. As well.
Which were remolds of toys that we got here, but they were remolded in such a way that you could actually fit multiple cassettes in their chests.
Right. So Twin Cast was Blaster with a expand the chest, and
Sound Blaster
was Soundwave, right. We also had the extra Headmaster heads in Japan.
Which you could only get if you bought toys as well. So at the time, the marketing was if you went into a shop and bought, I think, more than a certain amount, you would get a blank, Like, you would randomly get a headmaster. And there was the natural six that had colors, and then there was the white ones where you could paint yourself if you really wanted to. And the white ones are more rare.
Yeah, those white ones are super rare to get, especially a whole set.
Now, is there any reason, before we start going on, is there any particular reason some of these toys did not come out over here? I mean, Raiden, I can kind of see, because trains aren't really something that American or North American children go for typically. Although I always like the train bots, you know. I mean,
I think with Raiden, it's the fact that by that point we already had the combining teams that were the central body and the interchangeable limbs. Raiden didn't have that. He was like Devastator, where he had his own combination and he'd only work with those guys. So I think that's probably the reason why he was omitted from the U.S. market.
Didn't fit the play pattern.
Exactly.
The only thing
you can do with him is you can switch his arms back and forth or his legs back and forth, but that's about as scrambled as you can go with him.
Let's be serious. They really weren't targeting Raiden to be Devastator's like rival. He was more of the rival of Six Shot, which really made no sense.
Six Shot's another one that was Japan only. It wasn't over in the States. I was thinking Land Cross, sorry.
Sorry to say, Six Shot got released here.
Six Shot did, yeah. My bad.
So no, but Six Shot was a ninja.
When you said six, I was thinking Land Cross, because, yeah. Sorry.
So, I think, did we cover everything for 87? As far as the differences?
Oh, no. We forgot Stepper and Artfire.
Oh, that's right. And those guys weren't even in the show.
They weren't in the show, but they were toys.
That's right. Stepper and Artfire, for those of you who aren't familiar with those characters, or just know them from the recent generations repaints, the Stepper was a Black Jazz with a Target Master, and the Artfire, which I actually think is mistranslated, and it just kind of stuck. I think the actual name is Rapid Fire. That was Inferno. That was that had an extra little part where you can attach a Target Master to.
Is there any particular reason? I mean, we got the original versions of those molds over here in Jazz and Inferno. Wonder why they never brought them over here during like the Target Masters and everything.
You already had so many Target Masters remolding, I think.
I think it had to do with the fact that they didn't really fit the Target Master design aesthetic. You look at Chrome Dome and Highbrow and Hardhead and Weird Wolf. Those all seem to have that very blocky, big type of bodies. And it's possible that since Jazz and Inferno were smaller figures, they would have been at a different price point as well. They're just dwarfed by the other Target Masters.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, though, is like, and I guess this is something we need to kind of delve into as well. Is that why does Japan and Europe, to a lesser extent, because we'll get into those whenever we start talking about like Overlord and the Turbo Masters and things like that. But I'm getting some echo here. Is somebody hearing echo?
I am.
Okay.
Could be me.
But where was I going with this? Why would Japan and Europe, to a lesser extent, get these figures? I mean, even if they don't really fit. Like you said, Artfire and Stepper really didn't fit that Target Master aesthetic that was going on at the time. But, you know, they went ahead with that and everything. What is the line of thinking for that? Do they just try to get anything out, or do they have specific goals, I wonder?
I think it might just come down to getting a certain amount of product out onto their shelves. And maybe it having be like an even number where, you know, they had the three target masters, but they didn't get Hot Rod, Cup, and Blur. So they put out something else out to kind of fill that revenue gap.
You know,
my theory is house sizes. So Japan's house sizes are actually quite small, even to today. So generally, like let's not talk about say Fortress Maximus and stuff like that, which is shared between both Hasbro and Takara. If you look at what Takara usually releases, they release pretty small figures. Even Raiden, it's a combiner, is still a pretty small figure for a combiner, because Metro, like Devastator, was a pretty small figure. And I think it's because they were trying to release more product that they knew they could push to Japanese families, to children, because they would prefer smaller figures. The parents would prefer to buy their kids smaller figures because they could actually fit them into their limited living space. And like, that's a theory. It may not even be correct, but that's my theory on why the Japanese, like the Japanese products tend to have a different kind of thing going for it.
Jerron, what do you think? What's your theory on it?
I kind of agree with that, but at the same time, you know, I'm of a thinking, okay, the tooling is there, and regardless of whether or not it fits, if it's not, if the tooling is there, it's not going to cost you anything extra to have these made. So, you know, especially if you're just going to import them and everything. Have them as a store exclusive or something. Now there are some reasons that and this is something that that I'm sure we'll mention, we will probably mention later on, but Arms Micron Breakdown from the Transformers Prime series, you know, fantastic toy. I love the mold, but the parts count and everything, I believe, is what kept it off American soil. Is that correct?
It could have been. It could have been a small parts issue that it didn't pass safety standards.
And it was designed and obviously pushed through. I mean, I'm not entirely sure. You know, do they pass like the small parts issue or something before it's okayed for production, or is that something that they discover after it's already went into production?
Well, Hasbro tries to account for that before it goes into production. I think you know, I was there at the time. It was one of those things where we kept pushing it back to the end of the line and said, all right, we'll get to him. We'll release him eventually, as well as the flying Viacon. And there was talk of doing Deluxe or Voyager Insecticon from that series. But then it kind of switched to Beast Hunters. And then the idea of releasing those toys just went away because they didn't fit that play pattern anymore.
And which is a shame, because I mean, they were really, really good molds, and it kind of makes me go into the thing. It's like the tooling is already there. It was already okayed for one market to get them, so they went into mass production. You know, if anything, we eventually did kind of get that. We got the mold for BotCon last year in the movie Megatron Deco. So it actually has gotten a domestic release, even though it's a convention exclusive. But I'm talking like mass retail. I mean, I was such a fan of that mold. I had the Swerve version of it, and which was really nice as well. But it's a shame that we didn't get that over here. I mean, the deluxe version of Breakdown was good. But the Arms Micron version, which was roughly Voyager scale, was so much better. But I was always told that the reason it didn't come over here was because it didn't meet the price structure for the Voyager scale. There was too many parts for the Voyager, so they would have had to like eliminate parts or something.
That doesn't sound too familiar. We had always, from what I remember, it was always like, all right, we'll get to that eventually.
It was just a back burner thing that eventually just got pushed off the back.
Yeah,
burner. The
Flying Viacon was part of that, and then idea of doing an Insecticon was part of that. And it just kind of everything just shifted to Beast Hunters, and when it did, all the plans changed very rapidly, and it just no longer fit with the play pattern. It also didn't have that intuitive transformation style, from what I remember, that the other ones had. So it could have been seen by the engineers, not so much the design or marketing team, as something that might not necessarily fit, but they wouldn't be the ones to make the decision as to not to bring it over.
Hmm. Now, let's go back to Generation 1. Let's talk about like Overlord and Deathsaurus and Star Saber. Those characters never made it to American soil. Now, Overlord did make it to Europe, and he was still called Overlord. There were some other ones, I believe, the Road Caesar bots were actually brought to Europe as well without the combining gimmick.
Yeah, and different decors. I saw them in Singapore when I was a child and couldn't understand why they existed. I'm sorry about the tail flapping around. My cat's trying to take over my desk.
Massey 2.0.
He is younger than Massey. Probably is 2.0. Wow.
So I think at the time, if you look at what else was being released for the U.S. markets, you got to really question if those products... Not so much Overlord, but definitely Star Saber and Victory Leo. They didn't kind of fit into what the U.S. Market had at the time. You were in your Pretender stage. You know, you were heavily into that. So I'm trying to think back what other big Transformers they have at that time. They had Six Knight.
Are we talking about Japan?
North America. You had Double Dealer. North America had...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, so at the time when say, Overlord came out, we had God Bomber. God Bomber was the big Divergence, and Grand Maximus, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you look at... Okay, so Overlord, let's take Overlord. All right, you had Optimus Prime, who was your main character, all right? He was a Power Master. So he's at a price point of... I think he was at a price point of $39. And then you have Overlord, who would have been at a much higher price point, but he's a Decepticon that had never been heard of. He was not in the comic books. He was not in the TV show. There was no TV show at the time. And he would have been a higher price point. So I can see why it didn't make sense to bring that particular toy over to the North American market. Plus, he was a double Power Master, so that... There has to be a little bit of storytelling as to why that's different and who that character is and why he's bigger and seems more powerful than Optimus Prime.
I mean, it's a real shame, though. I mean, it's like I remember as a collector back in the early 2000s, and I was getting online and I was discovering these new characters. Overlord is one of those that whenever I first saw it, I'm like, what is that? I didn't even know it was a Transformer at first. And then I saw the insignias and I'm like, holy crap, it's a Power Master. It's a double Power Master. You know, it's like the only double Power Master I'd known up until that point was Double Dealer. You know, so I discovered this new Transformer and I'm like, why did this guy never come over here? He would have been so awesome. I would have wanted this guy. And you're right. I mean, I think he probably just didn't fit the price range and he would not have fit in with whatever we had going at the time. At the time it was it was around season 3, I guess. They could have probably thrown him in there, but he would have just been lost in the wash.
Yeah, I mean, this would have been like end of season 4 or season 5. Because you think of the Master Force TV show, and that came after Headmasters.
Headmasters in America was Rebirth?
Right. Was it just a three-part episode?
It would have been nice if it was the five-parter they wanted originally.
Right. So I think Overlord's pretty clear-cut as to why he didn't come over. But then you look at, like, Star Saber and Victory Leo, and you see what else was in the North American markets. And, you know, you think about, well, what was the biggest Transformer price point at that time in the North American markets? What was it, right?
Rocket Base?
It was...
Countdown.
Countdown.
This might have even been before Countdown, I think. This might have been a year before Countdown. So it was like those the Pretenders. So why introduce something at such a large price point? Again, it's not necessarily a vehicle that is real world, which I think affects sometimes purchasability. It combines with another character that's completely different. You know, it's not a theme thing where the C-Cons or the Constructicons are all theme. This is, you know, you get this flying tiger that combines with this jet, and it's a Brain Master. And that was also another, that was just another feature that we never had over here. We had Micro Masters, Target Masters, Power Masters, but we never got the Brain Masters as a whole.
And the Brain Masters, that's one of my favorite gimmicks of all time. Just the little guy that you put in the elevator and close that door up, and it's like the elevator goes up, and then here comes the face. I love that. But, again, we never saw it over here. You know, it's something that as adult collectors, and, you know, I kind of think that newer collectors, you know, that's kind of grown up in the Transformers franchise. I mean, basically, I guess from Beast Wars on, you know, they've never known a time when there were no Transformers, and you kind of grew up in the age where you could find information on the internet. So there wasn't like this long gap. You know, there was nearly 15 years, I guess, between the time I grew out of Transformers and the time I come back into the hobby. And I had discovered these new characters that existed at the time I was a kid. I think people today kind of slough it off or kind of jaded to the fact that there were all these characters that, I mean, if you really want the character now, you just go out and get it, you know, online. But back in the day, if I had found out about these as a kid, there would have been no way I could have got them.
And back in the days, back before eBay, back before internet, I mean, there was very little communication. I remember going to some of the early BotCons and seeing these characters for the first time and not knowing anything about them. And I remember watching a VHS tape of recorded straight from TV of Headmasters and Master Force, really poor quality. And that was my first time experiencing those television series, where now kids, you download them off the internet or you can go to the store and buy them on DVD.
Yeah, and it's almost nowadays, it's almost impossible to have a toy that you're not familiar with, because there's with the internet, there's really no excuse not to know about what character, you know, what characters are out there. If you follow the toy line enough, you're going to be able to find, you know, all these characters. But growing up, you know, there was, you know, this, you're talking about growing up in a time when the only way you really knew what was coming out was the catalogs that came packed in the toys. Or if you saw it in a commercial that you, that came out right around the time the toys came out, and you're like, holy crap, that looks really awesome. I want that.
Or you remember just finding a toy at the store and going, oh, I didn't know they made that character.
Yeah.
Finding Blaster in the toy aisle and go, oh, they actually made him into a toy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really easy now to find this information. You know, you guys have some books that you've been referencing quite a bit. You want to kind of mention those real quick?
So Japan released Transformer Generations, which is a book with all the toys for G1. and a chunk of G2 as well as art designs, etc., etc. And they also compared like toys that came out in the U.S. and what other stuff came out in Japan and vice versa. So you get a really good comparison when you look at the book. Subsequently, they released Deluxe, where it had extra artwork and I think another extra interview. I forget. I can't find my Generations book. And the Deluxe was the harder of the two to find. Thank goodness they did a reissue of this book in 2014. And so this is the version I have, which is not any different from the previous Deluxe from what I can tell. But yeah, this is what I use as my reference for anything in G1 and G2.
But it is written in Japanese.
I have no problem with that, but eh.
You know.
But the only thing I've noticed that's missing is the European version of Overlord and Road Caesar.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's almost complete.
Now, Jason, what are your thoughts on all this?
I mean, I thought it was kind of cool finding out later on, as you know, time progressed, and I found out there was like two different versions of Road Caesar, because one with non-combining parts, one with. Just some of the variants were just really, really weird. Like Buster and Hydra, you know, everybody over here in the States, Dreadwing. We didn't know that there was a variant like that. And once I saw that variant, I was like, why didn't we get those colors? Because I like those colors.
Quite frankly, it is prettier, in my opinion.
But yeah, like that and the whole God Bomber add-on, because everybody over here in the States had Power Master Prime. We had no idea there was some add-on you can get. And then all of a sudden this add-on pops up. It's like, when did that come out? And then later on they do that whole Toys R Us exclusive and then everybody got one. Mm-hmm. But it's the thing that, you know, when we were kids, we didn't know anything about like the little bitty Diaclone guys, just, you know, hearing about all these little rumored stories, and all of a sudden all the stuff comes true. And finding out that there's variants of certain ones, like Wheeljack had like different colored windows from the Diaclone. There was I think Jazz had a few variations. It's just and with the whole idea that the Stepper, you know, it's a complete remold on the back for a gun to fit on there. And I'm like, why didn't they release that here? And then the same thing with Artfire. I loved Artfire because I think Artfire is awesome. I love the colors on him. But I just thought it was weird that they couldn't have just molded a little bitty piece of plastic that plugs into the ladder to put a little guy on to put the
now,
master on. I mean,
now Stepper, we did get the pleasure, I guess you could say, of having that character finally hit the store or the shores here in America as Ricochet. You know, it's kind of a retcon character, so we did get Stepper. But Artfire is.
I completely forgot, but I wrote that Stepper text back on the back of it, that little bio. Yeah, that was years before I worked for Hasbro. I got an email and they're like, "Hey, can you do this today?" And I'm like, okay. They're like, I can't tell you why. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. That was
so
that was
you wrote the I... you wrote the Ricochet bio.
Yeah, I wrote the Ricochet text back.
And because you didn't know he was called Stepper, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a guy called. He's no longer there. It was a guy named Josh Izzo. Contacted me and said, "Hey, I need a favor. I need you to do this today. Can you write a text back for this guy?" I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I looked online. I looked at a few things and I kind of pieced something together and I sent it off. And there it was on the back of the box eventually.
And now, whenever you went and got Ricochet and everything, you look on the back of the box, you're like, "Hey,
there it is." That was one of the first things I did back in the day. I don't remember what year that was. I was like 2003,
2005, wasn't it? Was it that early? I was wanting to say it's like 05, wasn't it?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, how long did the commemorative series last?
I'm looking it up now. Give me a sec.
Now, and see, that's the great thing about that I loved about the commemorative series. We got not only revisits of original Generation 1 characters, but in the instance of Stepper, we got exposed to a character that would be either A, prohibitively expensive to acquire the original, or B, we would have never seen at all. And I'm glad that we got a hold of got Stepper, because that's actually one of my favorite decos of the Jazz molds.
And I'm really happy we got that Apex Armor Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. That was the Power Master Optimus Prime, God Genera, and God Bomber in Japan. And it wasn't just that he had the God Bomber add-on. It's the Power Master Prime was different in Japan. He had the
diecast
that pushed out.
Diecast. He had chrome on him, and he had the God Bomber piece. And you know, it was so nice. Many, many, many years later, after I had already spent all those hundreds of dollars in acquiring one. Oh, here it is at Toys R Us. He's got some extra long missiles, but here he is at Toys R Us.
So did the American version have all that die-cast and retractable fists and everything?
Yes.
The reissue did.
Not the original. The original did not.
The original just had static fists and all plastic.
It kind of feels worth it to almost get an American version just so I have the variant.
Yeah, the American version of Power Master Prime, all plastic, no chrome. Actually, well, the grill was painted chrome silver, but there was no die cast at all in him, and of course, no God Bomber.
But IQ had no chrome on him either.
No, it was white engine back.
And like Hitmaster Don talks about God Bomber, where he saw the original calendar. So if you see the prototype of God Bomber, it is significantly different from the final version that we get, in the sense that the robot is ugly as, but its armor form is fantastic. Like, it looks gorgeous when it's combined with God Jinrai. And I'm sure Headmaster Dawn will say I'm wrong next week if I am. But the story he's told me is that he ordered it based on the calendar, and when the final figure came out, he went, "That's not what I ordered."
Because it looks so different.
Yeah, it looks like the rocket wings are really short in the final version, whereas if you look at the prototype, it is pretty big. And if I can find a prototype, I'll send you guys the link. You guys can keep talking.
That prototype was actually pretty awesome, because, I mean, God Bomber didn't even look dinky at all. It actually looked pretty massive. Like, even the transformation of the trailer was completely different. It wasn't so much.
Well, eventually, the final version was essentially just a parts former, kind of like Omega Supreme. You disassemble the trailer and then reassemble it into a robot.
Very classic, right. Generation 1.
Obviously. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Let me pull this up here. New tab. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll screen share this so people can know what we're looking at.
I don't know how to screen share. I'm just leaving it to you guys.
And boom. There we go.
The world's smallest picture.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a way. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. The shoulders and everything are, like, way different. The feet are way different. The robot is completely different.
He's bald in this version.
Yeah. Yeah, he is bald.
And if you look at that, like, so robot aside, that overall armor mode is fantastic. And the explanation as to why we didn't get this, why Japan didn't get this version instead, is the price point. It was too expensive to make compared to the final version that they came out with.
You're right, the robot mode for God Bomber here looks kind of like ass. It's just...
I'm trying not to say things like that.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea there was so much transformation involved with it.
I'm not complaining about that. It's just the aesthetic of it is kind of, you know, sweat sock stinky.
It's one of those things. I'm surprised that there's not a third-party company out there that's kind of taken that design and just went ahead and made it.
Isn't there like a
retrofit? Hint, nudge, 3P out there. Get on it.
Yeah.
And those gonna be some I people it's a third party that's done a God Jinrai thing, isn't it? Like, sorry, that looks like the God Bomber add-on, but maybe can't transform into robot. I'm not actually sure.
Because you know, all these third-party recently. All these third-party Optimus Primes that's come out and everything. He's like, I'm surprised nobody's actually tackled Power Master Prime with God Bomber.
No, there is. There is.
Yeah, there is.
Well, I mean, yeah, there is that add-on kit, but I'm talking about actually make a from the ground up Power Master Prime. Not an add-on kit. I'm not talking about the crossover gen add-on kit at all.
I think there's just too many Optimus Primes right now. Isn't there like a Planet X releasing a version from Force Cybertron?
Yeah. And personally, I find that totally not needed. But
you know what? I'm really looking forward to that because it's Voyager size, and that's the war for Cybertron Optimus Prime that we deserve.
He's not Batman.
He's not Batman. Now, let's move on beyond the Generation 1 characters. Let's go... now, I guess Generation 2 is where we go to next. And I'm sure we have somebody... There has to be somebody on this podcast that is so well-versed in Generation 2 that may possibly know a little bit about what...
Yes, thank you. So,
but he's not here. Tobias isn't on. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'll let someone else take the lead on this.
Actually,
one.
It's kind of between me and Rick because me and Rick probably know more about it than anybody.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
Europe, go ahead.
Well, first off, in Europe they got these the Spark Bots. In the U.S., we got the G1 versions of them, but in Europe, they got a translucent version of those.
Well, I think that the child safety laws had changed, and that was the reason why we didn't get those particular characters.
And I always thought it was funny that they only did two of each instead of doing the whole six. I just thought that was kind of weird. Like, why did they skim out on the other two? I don't know. Would have been cool to see like a translucent tank. That would have been really neat. I've actually played with those. Orson had them, and I'm like, I want these, but you know.
Yeah, I got them carded.
I need to get those. Those are like when it comes to a lot of the European ones. Those
they look like they're made of candy.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And then you had Pyro and Clench that was released that. U.S. did not get.
That's such a horrible name. Sadly. It's like you look at him and he's sitting there. You go like, Clench!
Clench, yeah. It sounds like something well, that I do whenever I'm constipated or something. Yeah.
I know. And the only reason I think they gave him that name is because he has that grappling arm in truck mode, which to me, it's just, it looks like an armored missile truck. I don't understand why it would have a grappling arm that comes out of the back. It just made no sense. Now, with Pyro, you can fudge it and actually have the cannon pulled out from the back of the truck and actually sit on top of its alt mode, so you can actually use the cannon in alt mode. So I always thought that was like, why didn't they engineer Clench like that, which was really odd.
Mm-hmm.
But those are two, honestly, that are big misses for U.S. audience. I mean... They're great toys. I've got them both. I love those things.
What about Thunderclash?
Well, Thunderclash, I mean, Thunderclash, the original has these little bitty missiles that fired out, and it had several of them, and that's why there's that crazy channel if anybody has the Machine Wars Optimus Prime. Basically, those little bitty missiles you would send down the channels for like a magazine, and it would fire the missiles out the sides, but Machine Wars, they re-engineered it, and that had to have been a child safety thing because...
Now Thunderclash had some GPS issues, didn't he?
Yes.
His feet are gold, like...
His feet, the guns themselves on the back of the trailer are gold plastic. I can go get mine if you want to.
His gun has it as well from what I can...
You get a free moment, you can go get it.
Gun is, Yes.
Yeah, I still get mine, but it's sealed.
This guy. Because when he shakes the ball, he's like, I got everything sealed. What do you got?
The only one
I take my toys out and play with them, man. I'm only
missing Action Master Megatron.
No, Plasticon, yeah. What you reply with is, I have a childhood because I play with my toys.
No. I got this.
We apologize to the audio listeners who no longer have eardrums.
That is a Generation 2 Defensor and, well, let's see, G2 Computron 2. By the way, this is my second one. I've got two in each family.
What else in Generation 2 did not get released?
I'm trying to think what else there was.
Well, there was that G1.5 period where you had the Predators.
Yes,
Nightquake and the Turbo Masters.
Right, where Thunderclash came from.
What about the really weird colored Dinobots? Did they get released in America?
Yes, they did. Snarl and Slag have a color variant. Well, so does Grimlock. And the color variants are very difficult to find. The Snarl, there's a green Snarl that's out there that's very hard to find. And there really isn't any difference between the European and the U.S. release. It's just the rarity of them. Slag is a lot easier to find in red, but the green one is the most common. And then Grimlock, that's like a lighter colored blue. It's turquoise. And anybody gets on eBay trying to find him is very difficult because basic cameras don't like certain colors, and blue is one of them that doesn't like to photograph right. Same with red. So it's very difficult to find one that's actually true turquoise. I finally got one, and I'm happy that I have it because it's awesome. But I'm still trying to chase down the other two variants.
Mine's carded.
But I know. I'm sure you have them all carded.
I will say, I don't have the silver Dinobots in G2 carded. I don't have those carded. So I guess
silver Dinobots?
Well, there were silver Dinobots. They weren't like the they were silverish.
I was not aware of these.
Yeah, they basically looked almost identical to the G1 versions.
It's only like the Diclone colors, I want to say. Wasn't it the ones that were in the intermediate between Diclone and Transformers?
These must be really rare because I have never seen or heard of them.
They're very rare. Most people out there that you go on eBay to try to find them, they'll look like the G1s, but you have to look because there is stamping on there that says Autobot on them. And it was only the three primaries that I talked about, the weird colors. Were the three ones that only came out in those colors as well. And there is a difference in the silver.
Was it Grimlock, Slag, and Snarl?
Mm-hmm.
No, wasn't it the first three Dinobots? Am I imagining?
Yes, them? Grimlock, yeah. Slag, and Snarl.
Right. There were plans to release Swoop and Sludge, but they never came out.
Right. But I have my own versions of those set on the shelf.
Now, did Japan, what did they get as far as Generation 2? Is Generation 1 or 2 one of those things that Japan missed out on that we got?
No, Generation 2 got certain things. They got all the laser rod characters, the motorcycles with missiles.
The laser rods?
Yeah. But it wasn't labeled as Generation 2 in Japan.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
The box said Generation 2. Because I have the Dreadwing from Japan, and it's the only reason I knew they released a G2 series.
Oh.
Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I've also got Laser Rod Optimus Prime.
I have a bunch of the spy jets, or the cyber jets. Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Space KA. Yeah, the cyber jets, yeah.
I don't remember them having G2 on the packaging. I'll have to go back and check.
Yeah, maybe packaging. The lettering, because they did do a change in the lettering alone. They just called it Transformers, and it was that G2-ish looking lettering.
Actually, I actually have a sealed space case above me, and it does not say G2 on it whatsoever, although the package design and everything is clearly Generation 2.
Right.
Hang on. Yeah. Let me show you the G2 logo for Japan. when it pops up. It's in the chat. Okay.
So while he's looking for that, should we move on to the Beast eras?
Yes.
Because there are two shows and tons of toys. You're right. That was on the Power Master Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Or
the Laser Rod.
Yeah, the Laser Rod Optimus. You're right. Yes.
Because the G2 line for Japan was really small and really short. I think there was only, well, I want to say 12 releases because there was only 12 comics that came out. Something like that. There was like two Optimus two convoys, and two.
There's a total of 12. There were a total of 12 comics that came out, but there was also an additional 3 that was in the UK. So it was 15 total if you're trying to get them all.
Yep, cool.
And if you do own the what is it? I'm trying to remember. What is it called Dark Legacy? The comic series that came out that has them all in there. It's still missing the UK ones. There's 3 UK ones that are not in there.
Yeah, UK had a lot of good stuff near the end of G1 and then into G2.
I think so doing a UK comic show is another show we could tackle one day.
Yeah. Honestly, I think we should do a comic
four-hour episode.
Okay, so let's talk about the Beast era. And we had Beast Wars here. Japan had Beast Wars. And there were some slight color variations between the two lines. And there were also some harder to get figures, like the crystal clear Optimus Primal that was like a Voyager leader size. There was also the clear red Lava Optimus Primal. But more importantly, we had Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo. And much like the Headmasters and Master Force and Victory and Zone, these were exclusive television series that only came out in Japan. They never hit North America, never hit Europe. And there was a lot of new products created specifically for those lines. And in Beast Wars 2, you see, or also known as Beast Wars II, you see a lot of the Predacon characters repainted to be Maximals. And you see a lot of the G2 figures, including some of the unreleased G2 figures, mm-hmm. and even a Generation 1 figure in Trypticon, retooled, repainted, and released as the Destorons in that line.
Right. There's two auto rollers that did not come out for G2. of course, King Poseidon.
God Neptune.
Who's missing a limb. So he's only 4-5 figures with the most ridiculous female squid I've ever seen in an anime.
But this is easily, in my opinion, the prettiest deco on this mold. I mean, I just love this.
So that was, so anything that was an animal was released as in Beast Wars 2
and
as
also
a Maximal.
Weird
and anything
stuff like
that
this.
Was a vehicle was released as a Decepticon in Beast Wars 2. And they had two exclusive leaders. You had Leo Convoy and you had Galvatron. And then in Beast Wars Neo, you had some repaints of previous Beast Wars. You had some remolds, but you had a whole bunch of new figures.
And this is one of them. BWTF, Ben Yi, he actually did a review today on this guy, Beast Wars Neo Dead End. Really strange toy. He's a deluxe, or basic, actually. Turns into an Ammonite. But he is very much a shell former. You basically take the shell off, and there's a robot folded up inside in a very comical way. But
finding a way to fold him up in there is so difficult.
It is. He's almost scary to transform because of that.
And Neo was really good with that. Neo had a lot of figures which were just
hard.
You wouldn't expect them to be released. A penguin?
Yes.
A rabbit?
Breaker.
A giraffe?
Stampy.
Lothrak was one of the most ridiculous figures I ever saw.
I would say Mach Kick is one of the hardest to transform Transformers.
Yeah, and even in Hospital.
BotCon 2004, we actually had a contest, a transforming contest, and I think Mach Kick was one of the figures that you had to transform in a certain amount of time to win.
Did anyone make it?
So, Mach Kick never got released over here. Although some of them, actually, that's not true. Didn't Mach Kick get released as part of the Hasbro Toy Shop through the 2-pack?
Yes, in America, yes.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. Now this guy, for the audio listeners, I'm holding up Beast Wars Neil Brake, the Penguin, the Emperor Penguin. Probably one of the more unusual characters. Anybody who knows me knows that this is like my secondary collecting habit in Transformers. I mean, I'm mainly Masterpiece, but I collect the weird beasts as well.
I think you were going to say it was your spirit animal.
A what?
Penguin was your spirit animal. Just like anyone who knows me knows that this is...
My spirit animal, yes. Hakuchi Moya, I'm buried... the bones of our people are buried farther away. but seriously, though, I mean, Brake is really neat. And then you got to love the demonic... Jackrabbit, you know. I absolutely
the triple changer.
Love it. Yeah, he turns into
a pair of scissors, right?
Pair of scissors. Yes.
Yeah.
Pair of scissors. and these are such great little toys and everything, and we never got them here in the U.S. Stampy, you can actually get a Stampy for $15 or less sealed, really. Brake is a little more more expensive. I'd say roughly $30 at least sealed.
I think one of the coolest things that came out of Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars Neo to me is still the Tako Tank. And the Tako Tank was a playset / vehicle that was huge. It was a squid. And it had it opened up and it had a motorcycle inside of it, and it came with a repaint of in North America. What was he called? Who was the squid?
It came with Ikari, the blue version.
Oh, Ikari, right?
Yeah. So the taco tank was originally, and this is a bit of trivia. Was originally meant as part of the 2000 series of Microman.
Yes.
Which obviously didn't make it, because they kind of bypassed it once they hit to lasers, to laser form, which was the name of the series at that point. And so Taco Tank went straight to Beast Wars 2. And like, it only appeared in like one episode, I think, if I remember correctly. But it's been a while since I last watched Beast Wars 2.
Now, there were some other things that was released in the Beast Wars 2 and Beast Wars Neo time frame. Orson, that owns Capture Prey, I know I'd never seen these until I saw them in his collection. But there was like this weird, like octopus base, I believe,
Taco Tank.
That's Taco Tank. Okay. And then there was also like a frog thing.
Yeah.
Like
so that actually came out in the Beast Wars series, not before Beast Wars 2, wasn't it? Oh, no, right. The volcano place that came out in Beast Wars 2 with the green frog, but in Beast Wars, Japan also had a volcano place that was in a 2-pack with the turtle guy and was it the Tasmania kid?
No, that didn't come with a playset. Mm-hmm. So the only playset that came out in Beast Wars 2 was the... Oh, sorry, not counting the ships, which were like for the minifigures, was only the Taco Tank and the Waterfall base that came with the frog, whose name eludes me at the moment. But Beast Wars itself, when they were releasing Beast Wars, did come with kind of a base thing.
Volcano base.
Those metals. Yeah, that's right. I think so.
All right. I'm sharing.
The Taco Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taco Tank's so good.
That I had never seen that before in my life until I actually Orson's got one of these, and I'm like, that is so weird. I want one. Now, who is the squid again? Is that a redeco of a?
He's a redeco. He's supposed to be the brother of one of the lead characters, who is the squid, who Skylar is obsessed with. So your octopus limb from God Neptune is in love with him.
Scuba, I believe.
Scuba. Yes. Thank you.
So Scuba is one of the lead characters in Beast for a Second, and this is his brother, cousin, something like that, who came to help him with stuff. That picture you've just brought up is like soap bubbles. Hilarious.
Soap bubbles.
Like you put some kind of washing detergent in him, and then he shoots out bubbles from his
mouth. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not the Tako tank, but there was a bath toy that looked like the Tako tank. That was, if you go back to the box item. That's the bath toy. That's not the Tako tank. That's a bath toy that looks like the Tako tank that shoots out bubbles.
It's really cute.
Hmm. It is such a weird looking thing, though. It's like,
it's an odd piece of licensed merchandise. Such a random thing to make.
How much would a Tako tank run? He's not very common, yeah.
I think when he first came out, I think I bought mine brand new for $110 when he first came out.
Oh, that's really expensive, because I got mine for like $40 when he first came out, because that was closer to the price that he was supposed to be. But now he's more expensive. He's somewhere in the 80 to 90 zone, I think.
I think he's more than that if you find one in the box. And it's hard to find one in the box that's in good shape. Most of the boxes would get crushed. The bubble would kind of collapse in on itself.
I'm looking through my guide here, and I just ran across an arachnid micro playset.
Yes, those
Microverse.
The Microverse stuff came out in North America, but did not come out in Japan. That was around the time Kenner was very big into producing micro machines at that point. So they did some Microverse G.I. Joe sets and some Transformer sets. And the Microverse set was basically an orca that would turn into a base. And it came with a Scuba figure. I forget the U.S. name of him. Sorry. Scuba and Optimus Primal. And then the Predacon was a giant tarantula that came with Tarantulas and Megatron.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They call it Arachnid. They didn't call it Tarantulas, they called it Arachnid.
Right, it came with a Tarantulas figure.
I don't think anybody can probably find that. It'd be kind of hard to see on the camera.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, that book looks familiar.
Yeah, that one.
Who wrote that book? I bet it was someone who was really handsome.
Probably.
Somebody with a really bad receding hairline.
You look familiar. I got this one.
I chose not to go there, but you guys.
You guys.
There's a guy who can't grow hair on his head.
Hey, I choose to remove mine.
You look like somebody waxed a testicle.
Yes. the cool thing.
Are we making Deadpool jokes?
Wow. We can go there.
All right, so let's move on from the Beast Wars era.
Okay.
And should we hit RID? The RID?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, Car Robot. Because America added heaps of figures that Japan never got. For good reason. Some were really
RID and Universe.
So to fill out the... Yeah, so not only was Universe a whole line that Japan never got, but the original Robots in Disguise... the U.S., the North American market added a ton of characters. They added some Machine Wars redecos. There was some Beast Wars guys thrown in there. There were some new figures, like Bruticus, who was thrown in there, who was a three-headed dog.
The Cerebrus, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was he Universe? I kept thinking he was Beast Hunter for some reason. Was he in Beast Hunter as well?
No. That was for some reason it was just weird. Like it's a three-headed dog and he's an RID for some reason. It's kind of weird.
Actually, talking about Beast Hunter, Beast Hunter didn't get to Japan till 2004 under the name, not Beast Hunter. Was it Beast Hunters? What was after Beast Wars?
Beast Wars 2.
Beast Machines.
Beast Machines, yeah.
Beast Machines, right. So Beast Machines never made it to Japan till 2004. Beast Wars
Returns.
Yeah, and Beast Wars Returns line was tiny, as in the sense that only had the characters that appeared in the TV series.
Yes, and they had amazing decos.
Oh, yeah.
Decos that I have all of them. They had decos that just matched pretty much exactly what the show was.
Is so it in I the have, box?
I troop build, so I have my whole army of Viacons, and I have the Takara versions as the generals right up front of all of them.
Because no matter how good your deco is, a bad toy is still a bad toy, though.
You know what? I think story sometimes takes a bad toy and makes it better. Like the Beast Wars comic books, I think it was through IDW, where they took Razor Beast and they kind of made him one of the head characters.
Oh, yeah. That was really
That
good.
Made me appreciate my Razor Beast toy so much more because of
well,
that story.
You also have Polar Claw as well. I mean, Polar Claw is he's a good toy, but he's not super. And didn't they make him a good better character?
Yes, and
was that the IDW one?
Or was that Dreamwave?
That's IDW. Well, you know, Duran, you're into those weird characters. You should start checking out IDW's current Transformers series. A lot of those guys are starting to show up.
So the weird, weird animals.
The weird Beast Wars guys are starting to show up, including
Tyrant. Oh yeah, in Sin of the Wreckers.
Yes.
That's really good.
Nick Roach, talented man.
Oh, he's so good.
Ugly man, but he's very talented. Incredibly ugly man. Horrendously unattractive. But he's an amazing talent. And I can't speak highly enough of him.
Now, this is a bit of a segue. And Rick, I'll let you introduce him since you talked about it. And what, March 4th, did you say you have him lined
yeah,
up?
Yeah, so March 4th, we have the great Marcelo Matere. He's going to be joining us live from Brazil. He is a Transformers artist. He's done numerous comic covers. He's worked for IDW, for the Transformers Collectors Club. He's done a lot of Transformers packaging work for Hasbro. He's done design work for Hasbro. You name it, he's done it. He's going to be with us March 4th.
Really looking forward to that. Didn't he also do a lot of the Combiner Wars box art?
I think that was Ken Christensen.
Okay.
Who did a lot of that? Maybe I'm not up to date on Marcelo stuff. I know he's still doing things here and there for the brand.
But I'm a big fan of his and several others. So it's going to be a pleasure to have him on. But back to the topic on hand, Robots in Disguise. We got a lot. It was another one of those lines where initially Japan had the car robots line, and we didn't have it over here. But it was decided to bring the car robots line over as a filler line between Beast Machines and Armada. We got these molds that originally was not intended for our market, I guess. Would that be safe to say?
I would say, yeah. It was the reason it was brought over to the U.S. market was it had to do with Armada wasn't quite ready yet, and Beast Machines had ended, so they kind of needed something to fill that gap. And since RID was already ready to go, and it had both animals and vehicles, it was another great segue into what eventually became Armada.
Wasn't it because they canceled Transtech, I want to say?
Yeah, Transtech was another thing that had Transtech was canceled because of RID. They just decided, you know, we got the show ready to go. We're gonna continue with Armada, and Transtech was let go, unfortunately. We'll have to have Old Man Archer on the show one day and have him explain to us.
We actually had him on once last year.
I was sitting next to him.
No, we actually had him on separately.
Before he joined us. I didn't know. I didn't say that was okay. You can't do that.
It was right before he went back to the Big H. It is like a week or two before, honestly. Because they told us that that we got him right before he was to sign an NDA. So I guess we got him right at the right time. But now after Beast Wars, R.I.D., we're going into the Unicron trilogy. Now, America, and Takara, I guess, would you say that there was a closer relationship between Hasbro and Takara beginning at this time, that there was more of a united effort for what we got and what they got?
Absolutely. Leading the way in Takara, you had Yokei-san. At Hasbro, you had Aaron Archer and Eric Siebenhaler. Eric, who had just been hired at that point, I think he was interning actually during Armada. They worked very closely to make sure that what was getting released in the U.S. got released in Japan. Of course, there's still differences. A lot of the figures are slightly different.
Tidal Wave had colors. A completely different
color. There's some different colors amongst some of them. That sometimes you get the major color shifts, like the Tidal Wave in Japan versus the wider release from Hasbro. And of course, Japan does like to do their exclusives, and they had a ton of Microns that were exclusive to either promotions at stores or eHobby. And if you're a Micron collector like me, you spend a lot of frustrating hours on the internet trying to find all those little variants. And all the DVDs, those DVDs
would have listed, didn't it?
Yeah, some of those Micron DVDs that come with an exclusive Minicon, I mean, some of those can go for $400 or $800.
For a Minicon.
And you have to find the right buyer, because you show it to someone. Well, I'm not going to pay $800 for that. Yeah, sure, but it's all about rarity and finding the right buyer. So.
Now, so I guess there's a time whenever there's more of a cohesion between the Western market and the Eastern market. And there was, I mean, it's not to say there was not anything that Hasbro or Takara had that the other didn't have during that time. But then we get on to, what after that, animated. They had animated in Japan, did they?
Yeah, animated and the movie, and that's really, especially with the movies, you start to get so much more product released through Hasbro than what eventually comes out through Takara.
And they're still putting things out in the Takara lines that we got like years ago. For example, what was it, the Dispensor? Did we not get that, or is that that's one?
Yeah, that was so when movie 4 came out, Takara did a whole line of kind of like, I would call them All Spark All Stars, that kind of spans the trilogy. So they took existing toys and they redecoed and in some cases retooled them. You had the deluxe Starscream from movie 3. Painted to look like movie 1 Starscream. You had a Dispensor, who was a remold and a repaint. You had the Dino character kind of released over there by Takara, as well as a couple of sound waves. I don't think we ever got the deluxe sound wave in the U.S., did we?
No, I don't think we did.
No, that was through Takara, yeah.
As well as the Human Alliance sound wave as well.
Yeah, I remember sitting at Hasbro, and there was we had two different sound waves that were deluxe, and then we had a retool with a new head that was Blaster. We had movie 3 Wheeljack also came out through Takara, which didn't come out through North America. and there was a retool with a G1 style head in G1 colors that unfortunately never got released.
Leadfoot? Deluxe Leadfoot?
Oh, Deluxe Leadfoot? Yeah, that never came out in America. That was supposed to be part of a Target 2-pack.
Yeah, and then Japan has it, and it's going for ridiculous prices that I don't feel like bothering to quote on the show.
Now, then I believe Wayne Park, whenever he was on, did he not talk about trying to bring some of those over as exclusives, and it just fell through?
I don't think it was those. I think some of those were planned for the U.S. market, but movie sales had just dipped so much that a lot of that last line got canceled. And that's where I take that term AllSpark All-Stars. That was the working title for that we were using to release a lot of those characters that spanned the whole trilogy and could span movie 4.
Yeah. Now, I guess fast forwarding a little bit, I mean, you know, Transformers Prime and Beast Hunters, they got like really nice decos of a lot of the same characters. And essentially, they got the same things we got, just in much, much nicer decos. I believe that's safe to say. Yeah. And they had some things that was kind of like filler, kind of like what we did here in America with Robots in Disguise and Car Robots. They brought over Beast or Prime and Beast Hunters and just filled it in with other stuff. For example, Transformers Go, you know, it was kind of the Beast Hunters line over there, but they enhanced it with different characters that we did not get here. The very Brave-esque looking, I don't even recall their names, but
Shinobi Team, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a lot of anticipation for those toys whenever they were first shown, but once they were released, there was a lot of
disappointment.
Yeah, I guess because
Headmaster John is a good example of disappointment.
I remember Shardacon several years ago. Gotta love that name. I believe Headmaster Don had either gotten them or recently got them at Shardacon, and I was really wanting the Samurai Team, and he said it is not good. So
you know, I remember getting those guys, and I got them all at the same time, and I opened them up. I opened the box that they came in up. I'm like, yep, and they looked cheaper than Power Rangers toys. And wow. Power Rangers Zoids, and I just left them sealed in the box. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to not get another set of those to open. The only one I opened, which I regret opening, was the Optimus Prime, which was the train, which was the bullet train that turned into Optimus Prime, which I thought was a great idea, a great alt mode for Optimus Prime.
And he was a dragon, too.
Yeah.
The dragon's rubbish?
Kind of.
So I have Optimus X Prime. I know what you're talking about. I love his train mode, and I kind of dig the robot mode. But, man, his dragon mode is really stretching the imagination right there.
Yeah, that was one of those figures where I kind of tucked them away on my loose shelf next to the Nike Optimus Prime. I'm like, that's the dark corner where the light doesn't hit too much.
You didn't like the the PS1 Optimus Prime and Mega Drive Megatron?
Yeah, those never made it out of the box. Neither did the funny hat Transformer Optimus. So that's another thing. Takara
Label
does do licensed deals, and they do put out a whole other lines or special editions of Transformers that just are not available in our markets because of these licensing deals, such as the PlayStation Megatron figure. Was it Optimus?
No, Megatron and PlayStation Optimus.
Right, so a PlayStation that actually turns into Optimus, as well as the Alternity line, which was a licensed vehicle line, similar to Alternators, but on a much smaller scale, and diecast.
And lest we forget,
Kabaya. Yes. Well, that's a licensed good. That's not a Takara product.
Yeah, but it is Transformers. I mean, they are Transformer toys. I mean, you can't deny that. Even though it's not, I mean, it's Takara product, but it's not.
Yeah. It's a licensed good. I call shenanigans on that. That's a licensed good produced by.
What about Kamiya. The Disney stuff? So much Disney stuff.
Disney stuff. Oh, that combiner.
The combiner's so good though. But no, there was Mickey Optimus. There was Donald Duck as a submarine. There was. What's the character from Buzz Lightyear as a spaceship?
Right. Go ahead and explain what those were.
Even I don't know what the heck they were. All I remember was getting the Mickey on Mickey Mouse Prime, as I like to call him, and it's Mickey Mouse that transforms into a truck with Mickey Mouse as a pilot. So it's actually very Mazinga Z when you think about it. And then there were so many variants of him. There was a Halloween variant where he looked like a pumpkin. There was some other weird variants, which I can't remember offhand.
Wasn't there a Hello Kitty one, too?
This is a Hello Kitty Transformer. You're not wrong.
You know, there's something else that we're totally totally glazed over and didn't really mention. Kiss players.
So there is a good reason why we have...
Well, I was kind of hoping we can get through the show without bringing Kiss players up. For those who didn't know what Kiss players were, I was going to spare them that knowledge. Kiss players,
Galvatron's alternators.
We should talk about the difference between alternators in Japan and the rest of the Hasbro release. Where Hasbro release alternators were made out of plastic, and they had the steering column on the side that's associated with North America. In Japan, they were mostly die-cast. There were some plastic ones, but they were mostly die-cast with a steering column on the side for the Japanese driver. So towards the end of the line, some of the Takara Vinyl Techs came in what was called a Kiss Player box, and they featured some some new parts, like the Rodimus or the Optimus, which featured a surfboard. But they also came with these little girl figurines, which culturally speaking, it's very different in Japan than it is from North America. But for whatever reason, the Takara team thought, let's have these Transformers get their powers from being kissed on the cheek by these little girls. And
it's
that's
so ridiculous.
Well, you have Kiss players, so the girls would kiss Optimus. And he would get his power, and
there were some very
and then the comic story
pedo erotic.
So they each came with a CD too. They came with a CD which had a manga story in it. And in one panel, it's like Optimus tells Marissa Fairborn, who's like this cute little manga version of herself, it's like, stop eating cherry ice cream because you'll get fat. True story.
No, wasn't the worst one Galvatron with the tongue?
Kiss player Galvatron?
I had almost forgotten about that, but thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I like to remind you, now that Duron's done this, he's opened this can of worms.
Pandora's box. You're welcome.
Yeah, but Pandora's box and Kiss players mean something completely different.
Yeah.
Oh. Bum, bum, ba-dum. Oh. Plasticon's being totally quiet over here. I think he's probably sitting there in the dark playing with his Kiss players.
It's like a Kiss player to you.
Hey, Plasticon, here's a challenge for you. Make G2 Kiss play. No?
Don't tempt me.
Do it! Do it!
I think I should, just for the fandom. But this is a kicker. I got to put some kind of My Little Pony tramp stamps on everything.
You got to, yeah. Do it. Now, there's one of the last thing I want to cover, and for the most part, we're. Masterpiece. Now, The Takara Masterpiece line is so much larger than the U.S. Masterpiece line. Yeah, we've gotten a lot of masterpieces here in the U.S., and we've gotten some of the molds that they have in Japan and in the Asian market. However, you know, there are, you know, like the Blue Streaks, Silver Streak.
And I think Durand should probably start over again.
Yeah, what did you say? Sorry?
Oh, the masterpiece. Where did I freeze up?
All right. So as Durand was saying, there was a lot of masterpiece figures that while we did get most of the molds over here, there's certain variants that we didn't get, like the original Optimus Prime. They had an Ultra Magnus version in Japan, and we never got that released through the North American markets, or the Nemesis Prime version, or the Sleeping version.
Evangelion?
Or the Evangelion.
That thing is so hideously awesome.
I'm probably the one of the people out there that wants that over any of the other ones.
But it's such a horrible storyline.
Who cares? It's awesome.
I love it.
Yet. I don't understand. You don't understand what awesome is.
What I understand is that I don't care about the story. I'm just interested in the toy itself because it looks cool. You know, it's like I'll be honest. I don't know the story behind God and Neptune. I really don't. Beyond what's on TF Wiki and TFU.info and everything.
You should know it. It is awesome.
I'm sure, you know, beyond what's in the TFU.info and everything, in the TF Wiki, I don't know much more than that. But I don't care. It's such a pretty toy, and it's a Transformer, and I love it. And that's all that I need to know. You know, but going back to Masterpiece, Star Saber, we have not gotten, and Masterpiece Ultra Magnus. You know, Rick, you said one time that there's like little to no chance that we'll get that here in the U.S.
Ultra Magnus.
In your opinion?
No, I think it's possible to get Ultra Magnus.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, Australia's gotten Ultra Magnus and Star Saber masterpieces in our Toys R Us, and I can't remember Ultra Magnus is translated, but Star Saber is definitely translated to English. Like they printed English books and everything. This was a special deal done by Astro Australia, from what I've been told. And look, I know it didn't make it to America, but there's always that potential. Depending on how IDW does the Star Saber future down the line.
Yeah, I think maybe it was Star Saber that I said has not much chance of coming to the U.S. I mean, it's a non-recognizable vehicle of a character that not a whole lot of people know of. Yeah, I think we have a better chance of seeing other guys come first, like Bumblebee. Ultra Magnus.
Now, there's rumor that we're getting Bumblebee later this year, isn't there?
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and it would make sense because Bumblebee is like one of the most iconic characters in Transformers lore. And having a masterpiece version of the original Bumblebee, I think would sell like flipping hotcakes.
Now, let me ask you, Durand, a little off topic, but... last week was Toy Fair, no masterpiece stuff shown. What are your thoughts on that being the masterpiece guru?
I'm thinking we'll see it at BotCon, or isn't there another Toy Fair coming up later this year?
Well, there's San Diego Comic Con, New York Comic Con.
There's an Australian Toy Fair.
I'm sure. I think we'll probably see it at one of, if not at BotCon, one of the other cons, and I think it'll probably be a late 2016 release, mid to late. Yeah, I'm thinking summer to, summer to fall, mid fall.
So, Duran, you don't have this mold at all?
Yes, I've got it.
Okay. I didn't know if you have him or not.
Yeah, he's he's off screen right there.
I opt out for the G2, not the other one. So
yeah, we I had the G2, but it was part of the giveaway here back at the end of last year.
G2 is the golden one with the faceplate, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
it also has face swap gimmick and everything. It comes with all this, and it also comes with a jetpack and all that.
Yeah, it's got a jetpack instead of a spike and exosuit.
Well, you gotta hope America gets Optimus Primal then, considering Beast Convoy is coming out.
Again, it's one of those things that I think is off brand. You know, does that really represent the Transformers brand? But then again, you have the Year of the Monkey. And we're getting the RID Optimus Primal redecoed and re-released for that. So,
I totally get the off-brand thing, but at the same time, sometimes there's things that's released that you just got to sit there and go, that doesn't fit, yet it exists.
I was a big proponent of trying to get Beast Wars and Beast Machines on the hub, like trying to do an Adult Swim type thing. You put mm-hmm. Beast Wars and Beast Machines on at midnight, and they're like, no, it's off-brand. We don't want to confuse people as to what Transformers are. It's truck, not monkey. I'm like, okay.
But it's Transformers.
But it's all Transformers, and it's some of the best storytelling that we have. No, it's a truck. It's a monkey, not a truck, so no.
And now I'm
a little disappointed, because isn't this the anniversary year for Beast Wars?
It is. And I think that's why why Takara is putting out the Masterpiece Beast Convoy, aka Optimus Primal. But will we see it here in the U.S.? Maybe. I'm thinking if we do see it here in the U.S., it'll be like a year of top release, year of the whatever next year it's. It might come out next year. That's my opinion.
Because I know, I have to say that it would be. It's not even technically Beast Wars anniversary in Japan. I think they made Beast Convoy, wasn't it, because it was the American anniversary? I thought they did it specifically for that. So I just assumed that America would somehow get their hands on that MP.
Or maybe they have a plan of maybe doing two different variants, one for more of the American and then one for the Japan crowd. Because they can do that.
Yeah, I would support that. Like, seriously, the more I see of that prototype, the more I think that that could be my second MP buy.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's just like the Fairlady Z's. They tried to milk those molds as much as they possibly could. And slight color variants. Why would they literally make one version of that and not do any others? Makes no sense. I mean, Even Prime had redecos. Several. So.
Okay. Well, we've went an hour and 45 minutes talking about things that one region got that the other didn't get. But if you're new to collecting or just really weren't aware of some of this stuff that's out there, I mean, hopefully seeing some of the things that we've shown on the video here or hearing about it on the audio version will open your eyes to the vast, vast world of Transformers. I mean, there's so much more than what you can go out to Walmart and Toys R Us and buy. Everybody pretty much knew that already, but you don't even have to go third party to find Transformers that will fit the bill of, I never knew this existed, and there's so much awesome out there. I mean, and it all depends on what your definition of awesome is. I think this is awesome. A lot of people hate this guy. But I think he's neat. He's weird. He's interesting. And quite frankly, I don't see if this guy would have ever been released here in the U.S. But who knows? I mean, we got a whale and a tank, a whale and an elephant emerged here in the U.S. So who knows what would have flown over here? But still, there's a lot of great stuff out there. If you have any questions about what we've talked about on here, any comments, check out our Facebook group. There's a tftalk.net Facebook page. But we also have our Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Facebook group. If you're not a member, join up today. We talk about a lot of stuff on there, share a lot of news, share a lot of pictures, and a lot of interesting discussions around Transformers on that Facebook group. And if you have any questions or comments about what we talked about tonight on this episode, feel free to come on there. I'm on there. Everybody on this cast is on there. We can help you figure out what you don't know about, or even maybe help you find what you're looking for. Because I know Mega Toy Fan, he carries a lot of vintage stuff, and I'm sure he's got some weird stuff like this laying around that he might be willing to sell you. So check it out. Also follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. And we've also got a website, tftalk.net. Lots of great pictures, lots of great info. And you can find a whole library of TFYLP on there as well. Again, like, subscribe, and share us on your favorite podcast outlet and also on YouTube. I'm Daron Land, along with Rick Alvarez, Hing Yip Chan, and Jason Walston. We will see you next time on TFYLP.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.